Today's episode is brought to you by Caviar, an easy way to order meals from the best local restaurants across the U.S. For more information, visit trycaviar.com or download their free mobile app for iOS and Android.
Tune into Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service. Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
Hey there. You're listening to Pineapple Radio on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan in Washington, D.C. I'm your host, Atara.
And I'm your other host, Ariel. We're the founders of Pineapple Collaborative. And I think you know who we are at this point, so we're just going to get into things.
Let's get into the meat of it ASAP.
We have two very special guests from Portland, Oregon here with us today. We have Dana Frank and Andrea Slonecker on air. Welcome.
Welcome, ladies.
Thank you. We're so happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks.
We finally have a sunny day in D.C. for you. Yesterday it downpoured, but at least you get a peek of what the city's best look is.
It's pretty awesome. I mean, the rain was very much like Portland, so
yeah,
we're right at home.
Yeah.
And you guys are here celebrating the book that you just launched called Wine Food.
We are.
Amazing. Congratulations. I got to hear you speak at the Smithsonian yesterday, which is very cool.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that was kind of surreal, but very exciting that they were doing wine programming at the Smithsonian.
Totally.
Yeah.
Natural wine programming.
Exactly.
Boot with amazing women spreading the gospel. And it was so fun to listen to you guys as we've peeked into your book. And we're thrilled to have you in the studio today because here at Pineapple, we're obsessed with all things wine and food. And you two are experts on the topic, and so we're hoping to really explore your style, identity, and values through both wine and food, because that's what we do here at Pineapple, is touching on our passion for food and beverage in a multifaceted way. So, you know, this book is all about matching that glue to the rustic, casual, global food we all love to eat. And both Dana and Andrea deliver recipes for the pineapple woman, we think, to enjoy brunches, salads, burgers, veggie dishes, picnics, weeknight dinners, and takeout with friends, all inspired by delicious, natural, affordable wines that go with them beautifully. Alrighty. So this episode is brought to you by Caviar, which is an amazing delivery company that is based, they have operations here in D.C., New York, San Francisco, and cities across the country, and we're lucky to call them a partner in Pineapple. And we are super excited to share that we have a collection on Caviar here in Washington, D.C. It's Pineapple's Pine Fork Collection. So, Atara, what does it include?
Yeah, essentially, it's 19 of some of our favorite woman-powered restaurants here in D.C. So that's restaurants that are owned by women or powered by women in some meaningful way. Women are, you know, running back of house, front of house, operations, marketing, etc. And it's a really cool way for diners to support some of their favorite women-powered businesses in the city. It's very transparent, it's easy, and it's a really great way to invest your dollars in a cause that you care about.
Yeah, so our pick this week from the Pine Fork collection is Pear Plum Cafe. It is the sister cafe to Each Peach Market in the Mount Pleasant neighborhood of Washington, D.C., owned by Emily Friedberg. And because this episode is all about grains and baking bread and other delicious things with heirloom heritage grains, we're thinking about what pairs perfectly with amazing bread. And Pear Plum has the best like cheese and charcuterie and spread collection that you can order from Caviar that would go amazingly well with any kind of whole grain bread.
You can actually order an entire platter and it's fantastic. If you have like book club meetups or a party, it's like the best thing ever to order.
So head to trycaviar.com and check out the Pine Fork collection. And you can use the code PINEAPPLE for free delivery.
So we are excited to dive in. So what we're going to do is head right on into the interview. And then at the end of the show, we're going to be pairing some of Andrea and Dana's favorite wines with some of our favorite takeout items from Caviar. We ready to go?
Ready to do
it. Feel good?
Yeah.
All right. So first, before we actually get into the interview, we wanted to introduce Dana and Andrea. So Andrea Slonaker is the author of 6 award-winning cookbooks, including Wine Food, which just got released and we're excited to talk about. And she is also the former recipe editor for the ultimate lifestyle brand, one of our favorite brands too, Kinfolk Magazine. And when she's not writing books, she's working as a culinary creative director for food and drink brands, providing recipe development, art direction, and food styling for marketing campaigns and editorial pieces. And as for Dana Frank, she is a nationally recognized and celebrated sommelier. She's a true natural wine lover. And she recently opened an amazing wine bar in Portland called Bar Norman and has an urban winery and wine distributor called Bow and Arrow. Her approach to wine is everything we pine for. She's a true believer in our way, the pineapple way of drinking, which is have fun, don't take yourself too seriously, and truly enjoy it. So with that, our first question for y'all is, can you please tell us a little bit about what brought you to the wine world? When did you start loving wine and what was that journey like?
Yeah, I think I can speak for both of us in saying that we got into wine through working in restaurants in our early days as young adults. And for me, I went to school for restaurant business and then managed a restaurant when I was 23 years old in Des Moines, Iowa. And it was quite the experience, really thrown in. I wanted to just completely learn everything I could about food, and also wine came along with that. And it was kind of a slow progression into getting more serious about wine. My first media job actually was working for a wine magazine, food and wine magazine based in the Pacific Northwest called Northwest Palette, which was around for about 25 years and then didn't make it through the recession in the late aughts. But it was a very kind of amazing moment to be able to dive deep into Oregon wine. And yeah, that was kind of my entry into the wine world.
I got my start cooking professionally in kitchens, and pretty quickly realized that I was missing the human interaction. And what I wanted to see was like the look on people's faces when the plate of food I made hit the table. And you don't see that at all in the kitchen. And I'm just so much of an extrovert. I really wanted to be out on the floor. And so I cooked professionally for just shy of 2 years and then made a pretty quick switch to the front of house and landed at a restaurant that had an amazing wine program. And then this was over 15 years ago at that time. My association with wine was older men wearing suits. And I fell into this restaurant where all of the people who worked in wine there, who ran the wine program, were all young and very cool and rode skateboards and spun vinyl. And I was like, it totally blew my mind because it flipped the paradigm on what wine was. And so I got into it, and that's the end of my story. It hasn't stopped.
Was that Ava Jeans or?
No, that was long, long ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So Ava Jeans was, I was there from basically the time the restaurant opened and there for about 3 years. And it just one of my favorite jobs. It was an incredible team to work with and a great experience to kind of be on a sort of a ride, a restaurant that, you know, started off somewhat quietly and then just blew up and was a nationwide favorite. So
it's a great Italian spot in Portland, Oregon, if you happen to be there.
Exactly.
So how did you two meet each other?
Well, living in Portland, it's kind of a small community of people in the food and wine world, but rapidly growing. And we just have known each other for years and always respected each other and what we do. And we're friendly, but not super great friends at that point. But yeah, about 3 years ago in October, Dana asked me to meet her for lunch, and she said she wanted to do a book. And I had just been, I had just wrapped on a book I wrote with a brewer called Beer Bites. And so I was definitely, I was right in my wheelhouse, and I wanted to do something on wine because that was actually my true passion. I'm much more of a wine drinker than a beer drinker, honestly. And yeah, it just totally made sense. It all fell into place. We, you know, came up with an idea, wrote a proposal, had a publisher that was really interested in doing a modern take on a food and wine book. And it was, I told Dana, it's not always this easy, but it was pretty easy for us. We just had the right idea and the right, you know, connections to friends yep. in the publishing world. So
now we're BFFs.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's perfect. What a great thing it's a great to bring way, you two together.
Yeah, it's yeah. a great way to develop a friendship is to pour yourself into a really intensive project like this. And next month will be 3 years since we started working on it. And
wow.
I really, you know, I think we both can say, like, coming out the other end of it, we have this amazing book, but we also have a really phenomenal, like, lifelong friendship that came out of working on this project together. So
mm-hmm. it's really absolutely. Sweet.
And did y'all feel that each of you kind of brought different skill sets to the table and divide and conquered,
for
or
sure.
was it very collaborative?
It was super, super collaborative, very collaborative. I mean, what was great is that because I come from a food background and I love cooking, but obviously my professional expertise is in wine, and that Andrea comes from a food background and has done that professionally, but has traveled a lot and loves wine, we were both able to contribute. And so we actually developed and wrote every recipe together. We spent many, many hours sitting on the couch side by side writing together. So it was extremely collaborative. There were some things that got really divvied up, you know, like the actual recipe writing was Andrea because she's a professional and mm-hmm. does that so well. And I would have made a mess of the whole thing. And a lot of the specifics about wine, you know, the intros into each recipe I did just because of the, you know, nitty gritty of the wines. But otherwise, we did the whole thing together. And we had a lot of, we feel very lucky, we had a lot of creative input on the book itself, how it looks, how it feels, how it reads. Our publisher, editor was really phenomenal in that way. So we were able to work together on it.
Yeah.
Every part of it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool.
We really, I think, learned a lot from each other in the process too. You know, yeah. And it was great to partner with somebody who is such a great wine expert. And I've always been very passionate about wine and always continuing to learn. But just kind of being in the kitchen with Dana,
yeah.
talking about the wine as we're cooking, sitting down at the table with our men are both winemakers. So we would sit down at the end of a long day of developing recipes and have them open a bunch of wines while we're setting the table, and we'd all get together and talk about the wines and the food and how it worked together. But then it always led into other conversations about, you know, how our day went, what's going on in the world. And so it was a really awesome process.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great lead in to our next question, because I wanted to know, how did you come up with these pairings in particular?
Oh,
was it cooking the dishes that you love during a certain season and then opening, you know, six bottles and seeing which pair best? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure you have a lot of expertise from the years that you've been working with wine and food, but
yeah.
how did these pairings in the book come to be?
Well, it was a little of both. I mean, when we started writing the book, we thought about wines that we just can't live without, that we wanted to make sure were definitely included in the book. And then from that perspective, it's like, what do we want to eat with that kind of wine? But we also had dishes that felt important to us that we wanted to include, you know, things that we already make at home or things that we wanted to explore more. And then the question was, what kind of wine do I want to have with that food? So it came a little bit from both sides. And then it's, you know, like putting together a grid, we wanted to make sure that every chapter included things with vegetables and included things with international flavors, and that every chapter had red wines and white wines represented. And so it was a little bit of like putting the puzzle together to sort of choose exactly. We probably could have added another like 30 recipes to the book.
At least.
We had to do a lot of cutting to make everything fit, but we were sort of overflowing with ideas.
Maybe right. a sequel is on the horizon?
Oh.
You never know.
Possibly.
And so something I've always wondered about food and wine pairings is, you know, must one always pair wine with food? Or can you, you know, go to a wine shop that you love and just stock really delicious wines in your house and then be like, all right, I want to drink this wine tonight and I'm eating this food tonight, so here we go.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely the most important thing, you know, is just open a bottle of wine, cook something, and enjoy it together. We actually framed the book around you know, the chapters are divided based on like the moments that you're enjoying the food and wine together. So it's like we're not really adamant that you have to consider the nuances in the flavor and get really nerdy about partnering the exact flavor profiles of the food and the wine. It's more about just the moment that makes sense to cook and to drink certain types of foods, certain types of wines. So that's definitely kind of the most important thing in my mind. Like when you're sitting outside on your back patio, you know, maybe you're grilling, what types of wine makes sense in that moment? And when it's hot outside, maybe you want a slightly chilled red wine or a sparkly, bubbly, low alcohol white wine. You know, and then that goes great with grilled food because you're in the moment and it just makes sense.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I mean, I have always struggled with wine and food pairing, so I'm excited about your book because I think it gives a like fresh, easy to understand perspective about, you know, all right, so I've got this wine at home. What kind of recipe could I make if mm-hmm. I wanted to, or what might be similar if I don't have those ingredients at home? Because I don't really use recipes so much like mm-hmm. to the book. I more use them as inspiration. Yeah. And so I think this book is also like inspiration when it comes to like wine and food pairings. It's like, all right, this is what I got, or this is the moment.
Right.
And how I want to, you know, pair your book really helps with that.
Yeah, I think that that's really how people are using cookbooks these days, more as inspiration than like wanting a very specific set of directions. So that's great. I think that that is what we hope people will do with the book.
Yeah, I think so much of the idea behind the book was making wine really approachable and sort of taking the pretension and the sort of high-mindedness out of it and mm-hmm. making it like just an everyday beverage that you have on the table.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, like if you don't have the ingredients to pair this dish with this wine, it's fine. The wine's still going to taste delicious. The food's still going to taste delicious, you know?
Right.
For sure.
I mean, one thing that, you know, all the wines that you guys talk about, they are, for the most part, like natural wines. Mm-hmm. And you're, you know, provide guidelines for what to look for in wines. And so we've talked about natural wine on this podcast a lot. So not, you know, per se defining what it is or where to find it, but would love to get your feelings on like this recent natural wine renaissance. I feel like, you know, natural wine is becoming like mainstream now. Yeah. And, you know, it's not just in Portland or Brooklyn, you know, there's a thriving natural wine scene in DC, believe it or not.
Yeah.
So just share your thoughts on natural wine and where it is today.
Well, I'm so glad that you didn't call it a trend. Thank you for not calling it a trend, because natural wine has been around for hundreds of years. It's the way wine was made in Georgia thousands of years ago, in fact, the Republic of Georgia. So I don't think of it as a trend at all. I just think of it as something that people are paying more attention to now. And I don't, to me, trends come and go, and I don't see natural wine going anywhere. I think it's interesting that people are paying more attention to it, and it's coming from very different, you know, many different angles. People are thinking more about their health, what they're putting in their body. They're more aware of that, but also wanting to sort of celebrate agriculture in its sort of simplest form. And, you know, it sounds very boring, but that's what wine is, just mm-hmm. an agricultural product.
Yeah, it's kind of like coming on the heels of the organic food and everybody wanting everything to be organic. It's
right.
Like, why are we not considering those same things in wine?
Exactly. So I think the fact that people are paying attention to it all over is great, and it's really nice to see it. I mean, it's like exploded in Portland in the last year, like absolutely exploded. And so it's great to hear that things are happening in D.C. And I know the Bay Area has been really on the forefront. There's some great things happening in Chicago as well. And then lots of just like small states that are, you know, more out of the way. Like there's a great natural wine shop in Naples, Florida.
Cool.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Who'd have thunk? Yeah. That's awesome.
Yep.
It's very cool. It's definitely a product that we love to talk about. Mm-hmm. You know, for the pineapple community, we love eating and drinking with our values. And if you care about your kale, you should care about where your wine comes from too.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Yes. So true.
Yeah. So another kind of theme that we talk about a lot here on Pineapple, and on Pineapple Radio is this idea about body positivity. And when we're going to be doing a pairing with some really delicious food in just a minute, but when we emailed you guys, I think yesterday with our ideas, you really wanted to have like burgers, you wanted to have tacos, and we really love that your book doesn't conform to gender norms of what women should be eating. And you know, we generally feel like we shouldn't restrict ourselves for anyone or any reason really, other than just to feel good, if that makes you feel good. So tell us a little bit about your approach here, about, you know, diet culture, body positivity, and how that was baked into your book.
Yeah, that's a great thing to bring up. We actually, exactly what you said, we love eating burgers, we love tacos, but then we have a whole chapter in the book on vegetables. So it's all about balance. And, you know, that's how we should eat, right? Getting exercise, not eating too much, but enjoying it when you want to. I think that's like how we should all be eating, right?
For sure.
So yeah, I think we didn't really consider too much like diets when we were doing the book. We were just thinking about how we eat and how our friends eat. And I've never been like a woman who obsesses over what I eat. I just kind of try to balance it, and I work out a lot and try to live as healthy of a lifestyle with moderation.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I think, like Andrea said, the balance is really important. I mean, there's certainly dishes throughout the menu like cheese souffle and tuna noodle casserole and you know, zucchini bread with Moscato and, you know, peaches. And so there's all sorts of things that are like, you know, maybe in another book they would be considered like unhealthy or indulgent, but for us it's again just finding that balance between the things that feel healthy or make you feel good and then these other things that can be indulgent and be a treat. And wine goes with absolutely everything. So why would we leave out all of that other stuff? You know, it's not a diet book.
Yeah.
It's not meant to be a diet book, you know, and a lot of diet books would probably tell you not to drink as much wine as we recommend drinking anyway. So,
yeah. And I don't think any food is bad. I don't like thinking about food as being a bad thing that you shouldn't eat, you know, just because it has cheese and meat and delicious things.
Yes.
Right. Put some vegetables on the side.
Yeah, like wine goes with burgers. So
wine goes with burgers.
Let's do that.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
Is there, to that point of like, there's no like bad foods? Are there bad wines?
Yes.
Okay. Let's backtrack a minute here. There are bad foods. Yeah. We're talking about good quality, you know, healthy, you know,
non-processed,
sustainably raised.
In terms of like the emotions
around
a food or
quality,
a wine.
Quality food is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But, and we feel the same way about wine.
Yeah.
Yep. Same way. I mean, if we start sort of as a community thinking about wine as food, I think that really shapes how people will sort of see it. Like high quality food, high quality wine. It doesn't mean it has to be expensive. I mean, we all know that you can eat really delicious quality food and it doesn't have to be expensive. In fact, you can spend a lot of money on a meal that doesn't really taste that good. And it's the same with wine. You can spend a lot of money on a wine that's just full of crap and doesn't really taste very good. So it is just about quality.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I think lead with your taste buds when it comes to food and wine. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that I think we love so much at Pineapple about natural wines is like the vibrancy of them. And it's almost like seasonal produce at the farmer's market where, you know, they taste different depending on the time of year and where you are. You know, wines, you never know what you're going to get. And I think in the best way possible, it's really exciting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think natural wines, like when you drink them, you feel better. None of the like weird hangover. I mean, if you drink too much, obviously you're going to get a hangover no matter what.
Just drink water so you don't get dehydrated.
But none of the weird chemical stuff that you get with potentially conventional wines where you have no idea what might be inside that bottle.
Yeah. Yeah, I will say that in the 3 years that we've been working on this book, we've been drinking a lot of wine.
Yeah.
And I don't recall a single morning waking up with a hangover.
That's impressive.
I know.
That is an endorsement.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of food, we are going to enter into the wine pairing section of this episode. Taking a selfie.
Oh, hi.
Hi. All right, sorry. And we're thrilled. We always love to try to like bring the concept of our episode to life more than just conversation. So when we saw your book and there are these little cheat sheets at the end of each chapter where you provide guidance on, you know, what you can pair, like, you know, wine and food quick pairings. Mm-hmm. And one of them is all about takeout. And we just last week launched a collection on Caviar, which is an awesome delivery company here in DC and across the country. And so we're like, let's bring the cheap and easy pairing cheat sheet to life. And so we chose three takeout items from our collection. Our collection is Women Powered Restaurants on Caviar. So run
so or awesome.
Powered by women in some capacity. And today we have a burger from Ben's Chili Bowl. We have pork and cauliflower tacos from Fox Loves Taco. And then we also have a curried cauliflower dosa from DC Dosa. And Andrea and Dana brought wines that they thought would pair best with these. So which one should we start with?
I think we should start with the wine we brought all the way from Oregon.
Oh, yes, this one.
So we actually made a wine this past, well, actually in 2017.
Yep.
Harvest of 2017. Wow. So it just came out the same month as our book. It was just bottled and released. And I wanted to start with this one because it is our ideal wine for pairing with food. It's a blend of 70% Pinot Noir and 30% Gamay, all from the Willamette Valley in Oregon. And it's organic, totally naturally made. And it's in the style that some people refer to as glue glue. So that's a French term that means glug glug. And it's just highly drinkable. It's meant to be... just chugged on down.
Put it on, pull the cork, put it on the table, yep. Just let it go. It's not meant to be like a cerebral wine or wine that you have to think about too much. It's just sort of, and it's a chameleon wine. It can go with a lot of different foods. So it's sort of our like mm-hmm. perfect everyday red wine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very juicy. It's slightly lower in alcohol than, you know, it's not like a big red wine that, you know, what's the alcohol? I think 12.5.
Mm-hmm. Close, maybe closer to 13, but yeah.
And just very fresh and alive tasting.
And we should that should go with a burger.
Okay, great. So Dana, will you pour us some glasses? Yes. And I will provide the burger.
And it's so cool that you
I'm
guys...
do it up here so you can hear the glug glug.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're all about like experiences here at Pineapple. What brings, you know, a conversation to life, a brand to life. And the fact that you guys just came out with a book called Wine Food and paired that with a wine that you made called Food Wine is the coolest thing. We've had a lot of authors in here with their cookbooks that have just come out, and we no doubt love them, but I have to say this is the coolest thing.
Oh. Yeah, thanks.
No doubt.
Well, we're very lucky that, you know, we live in a place that makes the best wine, we think, in America, and we had the opportunity to partner with
our guys.
Both of our partners are winemakers, like we mentioned. So, you know, we had an advantage in that realm. But it was like the most amazing experience to, you know, having come off of just finishing the manuscript for the book. It was then harvest season in Oregon. And we were able to then collaborate on something that was so hands-on and another aspect of learning about wine and just kind of collaborating together and doing something like, you know, literally getting our hands dirty in the winemaking process. So, and you know, it was an experiment. This is the first wine that each of us has made. So we were pleasantly surprised with the outcome.
So tell us about the wine.
We really love it.
So we're going to take a sip now.
Okay.
That is tart and juicy. I love that.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
I think when we talk about natural wine, and I know that you gals have done this a bunch on the podcast, but vibrancy and freshness, and that is sort of the core of what this wine is. That's what we want it to be. And it's so really good with a little chill on it too. This is just at room temperature, but with a little chill on it, it's great. And I'm just hard pressed to find something that this wine would mm-hmm. not be delicious with.
Totally.
With this burger, I want to be like on a patio with my family and friends barbecuing.
Yep, exactly.
And this is a great red wine for summertime. Like Dana just mentioned, it's great with a slight chill on it, not cold, but just a little chill. Yeah, like you said, very fruity. I love how it goes with the tomato on the burger and the ketchup and everything. It all works together.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
totally.
So good.
And when you guys were writing this book, did you guys get takeout and pair them?
Like, we did. One of the first things that we did. This was so fun. One of the first things we did when we were still in that, were we still pitching?
We were writing the proposal for the book, trying to pitch our idea and get our publisher on board with our crazy concept of doing a whole spread of takeout food and what to pair with it.
So we ordered. So what we did is we went out and we picked up and ordered a bunch of takeout food. And we shot the whole book in Andrea's house. She has amazing light in her house. And we laid everything out and we made our own photographable spread on the floor, you know, with like a picnic blanket with all the different kinds of takeout, with glasses that we filled with wine, different kinds of glasses, and, you know, did our like, you know, above food shots.
Yeah.
Sent them off to our public. But that was the first thing we did, was all the takeout. And then we sat, I mean, it was just like,
we had curry, we had tacos, we had
rotisserie
Euros,
chicken.
Rotisserie chicken.
Burgers.
That's awesome. I mean, how do you?
And then we were like, well, we have to try some of this with the wine.
Pad Thai. Yes. Udon. It was just ridiculous. But it was also like, it was kind amazing. Of amazing.
Wow. I mean, how do you top that after, like, I mean, it's a hard act to follow, I would say. You know?
Well, I think it sealed the deal to be able to do all these pairing cheat sheets. You know, the idea with those is like, you don't need another recipe. You know, we have one that's all soups. You probably don't need another recipe for split pea soup or chicken noodle soup. But when you have that, sometimes it's like, I want to drink some wine, but I don't know what wine goes with it. So that was sort of the idea of putting those in, was like, you don't need recipes for these things, but sometimes you just want to know what's the wine that goes, or you have this bottle of wine and you want to know what to drink.
Or you're at a restaurant, you know, ordering, you know, ramen, and like what goes with ramen.
Yeah.
So that was like kind of the guidebook aspect of the book. We wanted it to be beyond just like what you're cooking for yourself, but also what you can order in a restaurant.
Right.
Yeah. That's exactly how we're viewing it. It's like a user guide.
Yes, exactly.
Toolkit.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird because in DC, like, not all restaurants have, I mean, nowhere, but also in DC, not all restaurants have natural wine. So I've actually probably ordered more delivery than I have, you know, in years past, because I now care so much about what I'm drinking that I don't, if I want to drink, like, and I want sushi, like, and there's not a sushi restaurant that has wine, natural wine, I'm gonna order it in and drink my wine at home, because that's the pairing that I want.
That is so real for me too, and I know Dana, because, you know, we're wine people. We impulse buy. We have a ton of wine at home in our basements, and we need opportunities to drink it. So I'm always ordering food in to just sit on the couch and watch a movie and drink a good bottle of wine and eat a pizza.
And also just sit in your sweatpants.
Yeah.
Oh, the best. Oh, yes.
Best. That's why let's be honest here. Yeah.
That's why we love caviar so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, all right, let's get to our second wine, because we have to, we don't have all the time in the world as we can talk about wine and eat food together. Which is our next
wine? So tacos and Rioja.
Great.
Yay. Awesome.
Hand those glasses over.
So the Rioja from Northern Spain, it's a slightly bigger red wine. I mean, there's definitely really big versions, but what we tried to go for in all of our food pairings are balanced wines. We don't want them to be really high in alcohol. We try to stay like under 14% for sure, but like more like 13.5. And so you really want to like search out wines from this region that are balanced, right? Have good acidity, not too big of a wine. That will be the best pairing for food, especially with spicy foods. You don't want like a really high alcohol wine, because that just exacerbates the alcohol and it gets kind of spicy in your mouth.
Over 14% is high alcohol.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like 13.8 starts hedging up towards hot, for me personally, but certainly, you know, there's wines that are 16% alcohol, so.
Yeah, for sure.
It depends on personal preference.
All right, I'm going to take a stab at describing this, because I just took a sip and it's magical. It's like perfumey, preserved lemon, floral deliciousness.
Yeah. It's got a really interesting caraway note on the nose too, which is not super typical for Tempranillo.
Yeah, definitely a little dusty and spicy.
So this is, for this pairing, what we recommend in the book is a young, fruity Rioja, not something that's been aged in a lot of oak. So you're really getting, again, the freshness out of the wine.
Mm-hmm.
And especially for something like tacos.
Yeah.
You want the flavors to like play well together. And something that's big and oaky and tannic is not going to be happy with tacos.
And you talk about both complementary pairings as well as contrasting pairings. Mm-hmm. And so maybe you can touch on what that means. And is this a, would you say, a complementary pairing?
So it's the pairing with this is all about what's inside the taco. So we're working with this meat that is like spicy and stewed and, you know, it looks like it's kind of slow cooked.
It's so a that, mole, I think, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that is what is going to complement the wine. This wine,
spicy.
You know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is it spicy? Mm-hmm. I haven't taken it by you.
These are from Fox Loves Taco, which is a really cool breakfast through dinner taco shop.
Oh, awesome.
And
I love the blue corn tortilla, too.
Actually, they got their inspiration from Portland. They have another really cute cafe coffee shop called Little Red Fox that's inspired by a spot in Portland. So.
Oh, wow.
They have my favorite sandwich in D.C. called the Portlander.
Really?
Yeah. So.
Oh, my gosh, that's awesome.
You check it out, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so they meld really well together. I almost feel like the Rioja tampers the spice a little bit.
Yeah,
tampers it.
It does. It has enough fruitiness to it. To
that's
do that.
A really great pairing.
It's a great pairing.
Actually, it's really, really
I'm
good.
I'm a big fan, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the sweet kind of warm spices in the mole are really interesting.
Really interesting
with
the
quality
wine.
Of the wine too.
Mm-hmm.
Like not hot, you know, hot spices. I'm talking about like spices, like flavor spices.
Yeah.
It almost feels like
so
you could like cook with this wine to braise the meat or something.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's delicious. Yeah.
That's a really great pairing.
So really great. Just to confirm, complementary or contrasting?
Complementary.
Okay, great. And contrasting would be?
Contrasting would be like you have like this really rich, cheesy thing. And you pair like a light, bubbly, high acid white wine with it, and it kind of cuts through all the richness. So it's like high key and then low key, and you're like balancing it out.
Yeah, opposite flavors.
Mm-hmm.
That's Love really it. Great. This is like marriage.
Yeah, right and that here. Taco is delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right, are we ready for our last tasting?
Sure. I can't believe it's the last one already.
I know.
That was the quickest 3-course meal I've ever had.
Perks of when you have takeout, right?
So Indian food.
Yeah.
So Indian food is classically very challenging to partner with wine because of the spices and the heat. We chose rosé for this because of the fruitiness. Fruitiness in general goes well with spicy foods.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the chill on it is nice with the heat, you know, if you have a slightly chilled rosé. What else do you think, Dana?
Well, I think a lot of times, sorry, I was just smelling this wine, which this is a producer that I absolutely love.
Who's the producer?
Chiarelli, and they're in Abruzzo. So this is Montepulciano di Abruzzo, made in a rosé style, which they often down there called cerezuolo, which means cherry in the local dialect.
Mm-hmm.
This has a really lovely sort of spice element to it, spice box element to it, this wine. And mm-hmm. so, again, I think it's got, this is going to be like a lesson in complementary and contrasting flavors, I think, with the dosa.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And so how do you, at your wine bar,
mm-hmm.
you don't serve food beyond like cheese, charcuterie, bar snacks, right?
Yeah, we do tin fish. It's kind of our thing. Tin fish, baguette, good butter, and then some, you know, marinated olives. And so, yeah, little snacky things.
So how do you choose at your wine bar which wines to offer?
It's a little bit like how we went about the book is we pour about 30 or so wines by the glass there. We just have them written on a chalkboard, and it's always in rotation. So things are always changing. So it's a balance of having things from all over the world, having different colors, different styles of wine. So it's always sort of putting together that puzzle. But I really like to pour things on a whim. So if I taste something and it's really delicious, but maybe I can only get a case of it, we just pour it because it's great and it's an opportunity to show it. But sometimes we'll pour things for 3 weeks. So it's a very sort of flexible style wine list. Mm-hmm. And it's basically like, what do we like? Let's pour it.
Right.
And that's it. That's the only sort of, you know, if it's a naturally made wine and we think it's delicious, we just put it on the board and pour it.
Right.
Yeah.
And those allocations that you get I mean, do they come in seasonally? Like you're saying, if like I only have one case, is like that your one case for the year?
Sometimes, yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so it's almost like, you know, when asparagus is in season and you go to your favorite, you know, seasonal farm-driven restaurant, like get everything that has asparagus. It's sort of like, all right, go to Bar Norman when they have this one wine that they'll only have for a few days or a week.
That is 100% how it is. Sometimes things will come in and then they'll go out for a little while and then, you know, we get offered a little bit more, but mostly with those small allocation things, it's like, this is your shot. And sometimes I buy those things and hang on to them for a little while because I'm not ready to pour them immediately. But yeah, so the only guideline is it delicious? Do we like it? Do we want other people to be able to taste it? And that's it.
Right.
Love it. So Dana, do you want to kind of describe the wine for us, for our listeners?
Sure. So this, what's interesting about this wine is that it's a really dark, kind of darker style rosé, which I, for a long time, people have believed that darker rosés are sweet, which is not the case at all. They tend to be like, have a lot more density of fruit to them, but not necessarily sugar or sweetness. So, but what I love about this wine is it has this very savory herbal note on the nose. It definitely is like punctuated by a lot of cherry and raspberry, but it has like a very herbaceous savoriness that I really, really love in this wine. We actually poured this by the glass at the bar when I opened in July. So it's nice to revisit it after a couple of months.
And Andrea, do you want to talk a little bit about specifically the pairing with the Dosa?
Yeah, so like we were talking about the contrasting, I think is key here. So we have, you know, typically a rosé has good fruitiness, you know, like berries and red fruits. And so that's kind of the key to pairing with any food, I think, is the fruitiness of the wine. Also, like I was saying, like a chilled wine is always nice to balance heat. yeah, I don't know. It's kind of... This is interesting because there's not a lot of curry happening, you know, like the sauciness. And typically when we were thinking of pairing it with Indian food, we're talking about like a chicken tikka masala or something like that, that has like the tomato, which plays really interestingly with the wine. But this has like a lot of spice. The cumin is kind of interesting with the spice notes in the wine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got some chutneys over there if we want to make it a little more saucy.
Eat it up.
Yeah.
It's delicious, and you know, I think my favorite pairing that I ever did, which like really made me understand like how wine makes food come alive, is there's a restaurant here in DC called Little Cerro. Not sure if you've ever heard of it.
I've been there.
It's like an
5 years ago. It was amazing.
It's an OG spot. Better than ever if you haven't checked it out. And it's super spicy regional Thai food. And they pair Rieslings and like Gewurztraminers, really like high acid, kind of residual sugars and chilled. And I just remember like you're going through the most delicious culinary like food experience, and then they pair these wines and you're like next level.
Yeah.
You know,
it totally
mind,
changes
body,
the game.
Mouth, like temperature experience. And I always kind of try to achieve that at home to the extent that I can, because for me personally, I was talking about like wine in terms of dimensions. So like a balanced wine to me is like three dimensional, you know, there's like, it's hitting all parts of my palate, and then it like just like makes me feel like alive. Whereas sometimes a two dimensional wine, I'm like, it just goes down, you know, it's not like bringing me up.
Right.
So anyway, that was an experience that for me, the wine food scenario was like, this is it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So with pairing with spicy foods, we definitely have to consider like how spicy it is. Like we actually just went to a restaurant in Brooklyn called Ugly Baby, which is kind of all the rage right now.
It was incredible.
Incredible. Ridiculously spicy though. Like crying spicy. And there was no way we were drinking wine with that. It was like, give me a really low octane beer.
Even the beer was like a bit much with the food.
Yeah.
And they have a really cool wine list. That's the thing about it. Is I love these places like Ugly Baby, like Night Market. There's like places around the country that are doing this incredibly spicy Longbon and Putty in Portland. Spicy, you know, Asian food, amazing, amazing food with these incredibly cool wine lists, really focused on natural wine. And, but it's, it, it's hard. Like, if you're not drinking Riesling with that food,
mm-hmm. yeah, it has to have a little.
What are you doing?
Sugar.
Is my question. If you're not yeah. drinking Riesling with that food,
totally. We are on that train for sure. Mm-hmm. Such a dynamic experience.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we have to wrap up. Before we do, all of this food was provided by our partner Caviar. We're very grateful. Thanks, Caviar. If you're in DC, we have an awesome collection. Like Arielle mentioned, it's all of our favorite women-powered spots around DC. And you can order through our collection by heading to trycaviar.com and just look for the pineapple logo. Before we head out, though, where can our audience find each of you and Wine Food?
Oh, thanks for asking. So we do have a hashtag, Wine Food Book, on Instagram and Facebook. Cool. We each have, or I have a website, AndreaSlonaker.com. And we also have a website for the book, winefoodbook.com. And, you know, the book's available online, lots of independent retailers, Powell's Books, Barnes & Noble, IndieBound, cute shops,
and
wine shops.
And then personal handles. Mine is Dana B. Frank, my whole name, so DanaBeaFrank.
Mine is Andrea Slonaker. Google it. It would take too long to spell it out, I think.
It's like O's and E's and yes. C's.
And, go to Bar Norman if you're in Portland.
Yes, come see us at Bar Norman. Come drink some natural wine.
Awesome. And follow up with Pineapple. We're at Pineapple Collaborative on Instagram. You can go to our website, pineapplecollaborative.com. Leave us a note. Leave us feedback about this episode. If you do, we'll share your review in our next episode.
Yeah, you can review very easily on the Apple Podcast or on Stitcher. We're following, and we would be happy to share if you love this show.
Exactly. And remember, drink delicious wine.
Always.
And eat delicious food. Share it with friends. Consider the moment and enjoy it. So thank you so much both for joining us in the studio, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you so much
thank
for having
you.
Us.
Thanks.